Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the show that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. My name's Nick Solacek. I'm your host, certified in couples therapy. And today I want to bring some insights from my private world, which is my clinical practice, the private conversations that I have with couples every week about the quality of their love life, the challenges that they face. And I want to share particularly some insights about sending and receiving, which really is learning how to listen, learning how to share. Most couples struggle to keep the train on the tracks inside of conversations that matter the most. So if you have an experience of your partner not really listening to you, getting defensive inside of conversations, shutting down and becoming non-responsive, getting highly reactive and critical of you, maybe things get really negative, then stay tuned, listen to this episode, because I'm going to share some really, really key points that make a huge difference for couples and really for all of our relationships. Because when it comes to listening effectively, being present with another person, being curious, these qualities, these characteristics, they transcend just benefiting our romantic life. These things benefit all of our relationships and can make a powerful impact on the way that we're able to connect with others. When I am teaching this in sessions with couples and when I teach this in my online course, I'm doing it usually through a method called dialogue, which is from the Imago world. And in some ways, it's completely revolutionary and profound. But in another way, it's actually really, really simple. One person talks and one person listens. And when we're able to do that in a certain kind of way, when we're able to bring a certain energetic quality and follow some clear guidelines, we really can make a huge difference in terms of the connection, the understanding, being able to make more sense of our partner and where they're coming from. The truth is, we often skip a lot of steps. We often cut our partner off before they're finished speaking. Or maybe we launch into monologues for 30 minutes to an hour, and we give our partner simply too much information. So in the dialogue technique, we assign roles. We basically say, okay, I'm going to be the sender, I'm going to be the speaker, and you're going to be the receiver, you're going to be the listener. And when couples do this, when they have a dialogue about something that's important, which could be something about money, lifestyle, sex, something that's going on in their life that's stressful to them, there are some key things that they can do to increase the quality of the conversation, to really actually get each other. And that's an important thing for all relationships. If you want to feel a sense of general safety, which is like, hey, we are okay. I really feel like you get me. There's a quality that's called attunement, which is really, I get you and you get me. And if I don't get you, I'm going to hang in there for a moment to better understand. I'm going to show some curiosity. And when it comes to receiving, taking in information, really hearing someone out, there are a couple clear things that you can do. The first is simply bring your awareness and focus to the person that you're talking to. And I often teach this as turning off the TV channel of your life. And that means that you're going to temporarily put yourself aside, which doesn't mean that you don't matter or that your perspective is not important. It's just that temporarily, we're going to put aside your opinions, your judgments, your disagreement to make sure that you are hearing and getting the other person fully. And that means that we got to bring a sense of openness, availability, presence. It's not always a good time to have a clearing conversation. It's not always a good time to sit down for an hour and talk about something important. We have other things in our calendar. We're busy. We're occupied. We've got to run to the next thing. So sometimes we need to make appointments, and I'll often recommend that as a strategy for couples that are really busy. A lot of successful couples, they are managing a lot, and that could be everything from the family to their own business to other things that are going on in their life, their own creative pursuits, their own goals, the things that they feel accountable for, that maybe they have a practice of discipline in some way, or they're trying to move their life forward. They're trying to lose weight, gain muscle, save money, make money. There's all kinds of things that people are focused on. So We need to be available, and we can set an appointment to do that, but we can also bring an energetic quality of availability. And there's different ways you might get there. By taking some deep breaths, by making eye contact with your partner, by turning towards them, putting away distractions, turning off phones, turning off televisions, and really setting yourself up for success to hear fully what the other person, what your partner is saying. In addition, how can you stay curious the entire time? You know, how can you really continue to maintain that focus and curiosity about what your partner wants to talk about, what's important to them, what they feel so, you know, strongly about that they wanted to sit down to talk, and to try to embody that sense of curiosity throughout the entire conversation. And in exchange, obviously, they bring that quality as well when it's your turn to share or talk about what you're experiencing. So for now, I'm going to continue sharing about this listening, this quality of taking in information and some of the key things that I think are really important. And then we're going to get to the sharing, the talking, the sending. One thing that makes a big difference inside of a high quality moment of listening is that you're curious, but also that you avoid getting reactive to what your partner is saying. Now, if they're being really, really negative and they're throwing jabs at you, obviously it's hard to not get reactive and take it personally. And we're going to get to that when it comes to sharing, because that's one of the clear guidelines, is that we don't tear our partner down. We don't shame and blame them for everything. And we use I statements to talk about our reality. But as a listener, avoid getting reactive. Some people call that holding space. And it's really, you know, just, can I be present here? Hang in there with my partner, avoid rolling my eyes or making odd gestures with my face or frowning at them, and holding more of a gaze instead of glaring, right? Sort of really holding this openness, this presence, which is non-reactive, non-judgmental. And part of that is really believing, or at least taking on for the moment, that, okay, you know, I'm going to make this moment all about my partner, and not my whole life, just this moment, right? Not every moment, but for the next 30 minutes, for the next hour, let me just allow my partner to have their own worldview, which could be very, very different from my own. To understand that, you know, I'm attracted to them because they're not like me, and that we're different, and everyone's got their differences. So we understand the moment's all about our partner. We contain our own reactivity, and we do our best to just attune, to really sense where our partner is coming from, to try to, you know, make sense of why this is so important for them, try to put ourselves in their shoes, to acknowledge or sense what they might be feeling. And if we're not understanding something, if we missed a point that they said, then we're honest about that too. And we say, hey, sorry, like, I feel like I don't understand that. Could you help me out? Could you say that again? Or if you do get it, before responding, before rebutting everything they've said with your own challenge or your own perspective or your own opinion, asking them, okay, is there more? You know, is there more about that? Just really like creating some opening for them to share more, because maybe there is. Maybe there is something that, oh yeah, you know, actually this too, I really want you to know this. And part of this experience when I'm doing this formally with couples is also getting people to validate each other's reality, doing our very best to let them know that they make sense. So what I mean by this, and the way I'll coach people, is like, hey, with all your intelligence, all your brain power, with every cell in your body, can you validate your partner's reality? Can you say, hey, you know, you make sense. It makes sense that you feel this way because, and then fill in the blank with how it makes sense to you. And you might have to stretch a little bit, right? You might have to, because you maybe really disagree. But this is part of the art form here of really getting each other and creating a foundation between the two of you, so that even when you disagree, even when you don't think life should be lived the same way, certain decisions should be made differently. The kitchen should be organized differently. The kids should be raised differently. We should have sex more. We should have sex less. We should save more money. We should spend more money. That at least you can make sense of where your partner's coming from, who they are, what they value. Maybe there's something from their childhood or their history or past relationships that makes this an important issue. Maybe there's a lot of fear connected to it for them. And in these dialogues that I'm facilitating, we do have some key focuses always. One of the first things people say is, you know, what I want to talk about is, and then we'll get into, okay, is there some hurt? Is there some pain here? What is that specifically? Are you afraid of a certain outcome? What is the fear attached to this issue? And usually there is fear. There's a lot of fear in relationships about, you know, a partner getting too close, too controlling, being too distant, being too checked out. There are lots of concerns and anxieties that we might have about what's going on. And in addition, I will prompt people to share, hey, what does this remind you of from your past? Is there some historical context? Is there something from childhood that could be playing a role today that makes this such an important issue for you? So these are some of the main things. There's so much more, but these are some of the main points around listening, creating these high quality moments of listening. And it is one thing that really often doesn't happen a lot, especially for couples that are in conflict, couples that are working through a power struggle, that are having a difficult time. The quality of listening is usually very low. So when couples try this out, they actually have a really wonderful experience because it's safe conversation format. So even if the conversation doesn't solve all their issues, they at least feel heard. They at least get the sense that, wow, my partner really hung in there with me. And this conversation didn't go sideways. It didn't explode. It didn't turn into a fight. And it was really just this experience of totally, fully being heard to say my piece. And there are a number of other things structured into the dialogue that make that happen. Okay, so when it comes to sharing, when it comes to speaking to our partner, sending information, there are a lot of mistakes that we can make. One is that we can just get really negative. We can point fingers. We use the shame, blame, judgment, criticism. And that automatically arouses anxiety in our partner. So we want to try to not do that at all. And one of the key ways that I coach people to do that is to make I statements. And using those statements to talk about your experience. So I feel this way, or when I notice, or when I perceive you might do this, I'm feeling this. And wow, you know, I got this hurt, or I got this pain around that. I have these fears. And here's what's important to me. Instead of over-focusing or focusing too much on your partner. You always do this. You never do that. You. We want to try to put that way of communicating aside in this pursuit, in this goal of avoiding all shaming, blaming, criticizing. We do not want to belittle or put down our partner. And when we do that in real life, and we can do it from time to time, right? We might get stressed, overwhelmed. So we say something negative, we say something passive aggressive. It really just makes the moment, that moment in time, feel negative. And one of the main things that couples usually have an opportunity to do is turn the positivity way up and make an effort to eliminate negativity. And that might be a lofty goal. Some people might believe that's impossible, but I think it's important to set the bar high because we really do have so much room to move the needle on this negative and positive type of sentiment communication. Our partner can easily get overloaded. So if we're saying a lot, we're speaking really fast, we talk at them for 30 minutes, they're generally going to get overloaded with information. And in the dialogue method, we break that down, we slow things down by encouraging people to say a couple sentences at a time to make sure their partner's got it. And there's a method called mirroring, where one partner, the listener, the receiver, will share what they're getting. They'll repeat back what they heard, and they might do a summary of what they heard, or they might repeat back word for word, you know, depending on how their brain takes in information or how their partner really wants to be mirrored, how they want to be received. So we want to not overload our partner. We also want to stay on topic. So if we're approaching our loved one with a important conversation, don't get into too many different issues in the same moment. Try to tackle one thing at a time and stay focused, because you want to try to go deep with specific issues. You want to make sure you feel heard on specific issues versus bringing in everything or, you know, every grievance you've ever had. That does not generally lead to a successful conversation, and it makes it difficult for our partner to really get us and hear everything that we're saying. So in terms of the sharing here, you also want to check for accuracy. So you know, your partner, they're the listener, their job is to say, hey, okay, I'm getting it, I'm with you. And if they're not getting it, that you don't take that too personally. Maybe you be honest if you feel like, hey, I'm not sure you're getting it, maybe I could say it in another way, and check in with them. You know, there's something that happens in relationships. It's kind of, I think passive aggressive might be the right word, which is, did you hear what I said? Are you listening to me? And what that points to is that a person doesn't feel heard. The person that's saying that is questioning whether the other person, their partner, is really taking it in. And that's kind of a classic thing. If someone's staring at their phone, they're watching TV, they're engaged in something else, that the person who's talking might fear, might sense, you didn't hear a damn word that I said. And then they might get negative. They might go into that. So we want to try to avoid those pathways and set ourselves up for success as the person that wants to share, as the sender, by not talking at our partner from the other side of the house, by not shouting at them when they're in the shower, maybe they can't hear us, or they're engaged in their favorite TV show and we decide now's a good time to bring up something that we want to talk about for an hour. So we need to be mindful about that as well. And if we got to set an appointment, okay. Mainly we want to look for consent, which is, hey, is now a good time to talk about this? Are you available? And if your partner is not available, hey, no problem. Let's find another time later to do that. This is another key point about these important conversations that we want to have. If we want to avoid sweeping things under the rug, avoiding telling the truth about how we really feel, asking for what we need, you know, we need to ask for what we need. Otherwise, we do the walking on eggshells, the other kinds of strategies that couples use to just survive, to cope, to deal with a situation. And when all attempts to be heard don't work, when our partner doesn't get us or they don't want to listen or they don't know how, we usually just give up. You know, we usually stop sharing. And that can lead to the end of the relationship, or that can simply lead to a deep, deep coping dead zone where we just go day to day trying to get through it. And yeah, we got our complaints and grievances, but you know, we don't do anything about it. Painful place. So we've got this, you know, checking for accuracy, making sure that, you know, we're hearing each other, resharing information if our partner missed it or they didn't get it, and not taking it personally if they did. We also want to try to avoid berating our partner, repeating ourselves over and over again. You know, if they've already got it, they've told us, hey, I understand. We don't need to give them the same sentiment over and over and over. And do your best to just appreciate that, you know, your partner is making an effort. If you guys are really taking this on, if you're listening to these instructions and you are applying these inside of moments, try to appreciate that your partner is giving it a go. And if this is new and you haven't had a conscious, intentional dialogue, you've never thought about the quality of listening in your relationships, just know you're going to get it wrong. Your friends, your romantic partner, family, people in your life, they're gonna fail to show up. And sometimes when we're practicing this, I know for me, me and my partner practice this, but I practice this stuff outside of my own relationship, really hanging in there with people and not expecting them to meet me always where I'm at. But if I listen, if I really take in what's being said and I receive and I follow to a high level some of these guidelines, the conversations generally go well, without the other person even having to be educated on some of the fundamentals here. it's sort of this way of being and this energetic quality that can be brought to these moments that might soften someone or open them up or make them feel more comfortable or give them the sense that, wow, you care and you hurt me and you get me. And that's something that's fundamental to human beings. We want to be understood. We want to be heard and seen, especially, you know, for most people when they were kids, they weren't heard and seen. You know, it was more sit down, shut up, do what I tell you to do. So people mainly could have felt invisible, not heard, not listened to, or simply controlled, dominated, and smothered. So if you take this on, maybe you and your partner listen to this together, maybe you're listening to it by yourself, and you want to give these things a try, just be gentle with yourself and with your partner and understand that, hey, you're not going to be an expert right away the first time you try it. And it takes time to learn this and actually get this as an embodied quality, not something you're stretching as much for, but something you've got because you put the hours in to practice it. If this is interesting, if you really resonated with this conversation today, or you feel like, wow, I feel like I could learn a lot more about this. I feel like me and my partner really could learn so much more about how to hear each other and how to hang in there with each other in these difficult moments. I really encourage you to reach out to me, send me a message. Let's have a discovery call and let's explore these patterns further. Let's talk about your personal situation and what you're going through. I meet with couples around the world to work on the challenges that they face and ultimately create the meaningful, lasting changes that they seek. So I'm here for that if you're interested. I have a new program that is launching mid-October. I believe you can actually sign up for it on October 8th, called Wisdom of the Heart. And I'm partnered with two of my friends, Ben Goreski and Shalina Ayana, who is the author of a book, best-selling book called Becoming the One. Her online brand is Rising Woman, at Rising Woman. You can check it out. We are launching a new program for individuals and for couples. We're going to be talking all about the power of conscious love, some of the insights, breakthrough ideas that have made such a difference for us in our relationships, and get more into the weeds here in terms of how we can better work with these moments. What are some revolutionary transformative techniques that we can use? What kind of insights can we bring to increase the safety, increase the aliveness in our relationship, create more of a sense of okayness, that we are okay, more team, more resilience, and so much more. It's an 8-week program. We're getting started towards the end of October. If you're interested in that, send me a DM. I'll get you all the info that you need to make the right decision for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting this podcast. And if the discovery call, if the Wisdom of the Heart program is of interest, like I said, reach out, find me on Instagram at Nick Solacek, or contact me through my website, and I'll be happy to share more details with you. Okay, that's all for today. We'll see you next week.